Evening all. Bell and Sperling Show. Well, I say Bell and Sperling Show, it's Martin Bell tonight because Johnny Sperling has gone to Spain to do an album. Keep slipping off. Gonna have a good show though. I might even get him on the phone. Phone him up in Murcia. Not Mercia, Murcia. Gonna talk a little bit about Gary Lineker. It just rolls on, doesn't it, eh? Oh, dearie me. What's your thoughts on Gary? I'm gonna add a little good talk. What's your thoughts on Jeremy Hunt?
Some bottom so that the dancers just won't hide.
By the way, we're going to talk about 80s fashion is coming back. The big shoulder pads, love it. The new romantics, it's all coming back. It was the best fashion time ever. We're going to talk about that. Also, Ozzy Osbourne's going to tour in a wheelchair. Oh dear. England announced the new lineup today. There's a few old faces got to go. It's all coming up. Bell and Sperling Show with Martin Bell. Evening, everybody. It's the Bell and Sperling Show, but unfortunately, Johnny Sperling is not here again. He keeps slipping off to Spain, keeps doing this album over in Spain in Murcia. He corrects me now and again. He sort of says, well, in fact, he doesn't correct me. He doesn't even know what he's talking about, if I'm honest, but it is in Murcia, not Mercia. And he's over there doing an album. He's flown off yesterday. He's coming back tomorrow. So, and we will be back next Thursday, although I'm saying that. As you might know, at the moment, Bell and Sperling are doing this Nigel Farage tour. Whether you like Nigel or not, 52% of you did. 48% don't. But we're doing this show on GB News, and we do his tour at the moment, and we're sort of travelling around the country, and we have to write a new song every couple of weeks that sort of... sort of elements of the news that week. We had a little bit about Nicola Sturgeon last week, which was quite funny. A bit of Harry and Meghan thrown in there, obviously. That just keeps on going because they wanted to run off to the other side of the world and try and hide away from the press, but it seems like they exploded into the press, and it's even worse than they imagined. But obviously they're £97 million pounds richer now. So yeah, we write various little bits and pieces that are quite funny, and it's all a bit tongue-in-cheek, it's all a bit light-hard, not really having a massive dig at everybody. But we perform that on Nigel Farage's show on GB News on a Thursday. So we'll be doing this show next Thursday and then running straight off to Newcastle to I don't know how we're gonna get there in time to perform on his show at 7 o'clock on GB News. By the way, just to give you half a clue, if you don't actually watch GB News, you flick through your Sky channels and you can find it down there. But this just gives you a little bit of an insight. I was only talking to the producers and some of the people that work there. Some of these major news channels are losing bundles of money at the moment. Sky News, by the way, losing more than anybody. But it is work in progress, I suppose. But this was the listening figures for last week when we were on the show. the viewing figures, I'm sorry, was when we were on, 108,000 viewers whilst we were performing. At the very same time, so it's 108,000 for GB News, at the very same time, we were told that Sky News was on 27,000. Talk TV was on 34,000. And BBC News was on 132,000. So GB News, not a million miles away from BBC News, but, you know, four times the amount of Sky News at the time, which I found astonishing. It just shows you what sort of platform, you know, some of these news channels have and the way that sort of people are thinking. I don't know. I mean, you know, listen, we'll make our own assumptions. There are a lot of people who don't like Nigel and there's a lot of people that do like Nigel. We was in Bolton last week doing the show and we got to talk to a lot of people around there and, you know, we was up there for the day and it is quite strange. Listen, we're down here. We're down in a bubble here, aren't we? Let's be honest. We are living in a bubble down here. We get past a couple of service stations and, you know, we get down past the service stations and it just changes. That was a funny little story, just when I'm talking about service stations. Myself and Johnny Sperling were coming back from Bolton. The weather was atrocious. Obviously, the country was meant to be snowed in. We were travelling back down. We got to the service station. Can't think what one it is. Just coming just before the M6 and M1 junction. And we run in there. We were starving hungry. I'm meant to be on a no carb diet, but Burger King was just about open. Run in there and we were the last. There was the only two people in there. And we grabbed the last couple of Burger Kings. And then a big crowd come in. All young, funky, trendy crowd. And they said, "I'm sorry, we've got no food." And I was looking, I thought, I know that fella. And anyway, they were quite polite and everyone was sort of, and the woman went, "Oh, all right, fair enough." It was Ashley Banjo and his dance team. So I looked at him, I said, "Come on, they've been dancing all night. You got to serve them. You know, they've been burning calories." So anyway, I was just saying that once we got down past the service station, you do get to this sort of, let's say this London, Hertfordshire, Essex border. And we are living in a bubble. It's nothing like Bolton. You know, we was in this working man's club that they put us in for like the green room for a drink. And there's people turning up with their own flights and darts, right? They get the case out and they go, here we go, missus. You know what I mean? Open the case up. Let's get me flight. What flights you got, Trevor? What flights you got? Oh, yeah. I've got me heavy darts. Do you remember the old Keith Deller heavy darts, the spring-loaded ones that used to go into the board and go and wobble, 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 like that? These guys were taking it seriously. Then there's a couple of guys turn up with their own snooker cue, their own chalk and everything. And they, you know, they're living a pretty simple life up there. They don't care about when they get down here, about who's got the latest Range Rover, who's got the biggest watch, you know? Who's got the best house? You know what we're like down here. It's about who's got what. Everyone's clambering over each other to get a bigger watch. Although, I must say, watches at the moment are sort of something to be kept in a safety deposit box because all I keep hearing about is people getting burgled for their watches. So it is a bit of a worry, that situation. But I just, you know, I just found it quite strange. I mean, we're quite lucky that we get to go all over the country on various tours over the years, but I have noticed it in the last couple of tours and stuff that we've done. We've got to go to Newcastle next week and then Norwich, which is not far away, and then we go right up the top to Aberdeen, which is going to be completely different to Essex. There is no enhanced people up there. Nobody's had plastic surgery. You know what I'm talking about. I was going to come out. Do you know what? There was one song that I just thought about change, because I'm going to start talking in a minute about Gary Lineker. We're going to have a little chat about Gary Lineker. And sometimes you think, listen, it's really weird. There's a place that we go to on holiday. We've been going there for 25 years. It's a complex in Marbella. And we've all been up in arms because they're building this long pathway through the coast, you know, from Port of Benouse all the way to Estepona. And the other side of Benouse as well. A lot of you will know about it. You know, you can get your bike and you can cycle along there. You can go running along there. And it is fantastic. However, the place that we're in Estepona, we've been there for 25 years, they've decided to build the path not along the actual beach. They've decided to cut through the complex, right through the middle of it. and cut through the grass where everyone's sort of, you know, he's on the beach. It's going to divide the swimming pool and the beach. And, you know, I've been up in arms about it for about 18 months. And I'm actually looking at the path. They've just built the path. And I'm thinking, do you know what? Maybe change is good. I don't know. Maybe it's going to work out for the better. You know, and I was just looking at the Gary Lineker situation. I was thinking, could we do without Gary? He's picking up 1.35 million a year. He took a 400 grand pay cut because I was doing a radio show a couple of years ago. So prior to COVID, he was picking up 1.75 million. And I'm just going to give you, we'll come back to this after this track, but, you know, the viewing figures apparently last week were 2 million. And the fact that him, Alan Shearer and Ian Wright weren't there, people tuned in, they actually picked up 2.5 million viewers. So I'm just wondering, sometimes whether a change is good, you know, you just never know, do you? So I thought I'd play this, I love this track. Great song by Climby Fisher.
Looked at me that way.
songwriters. Clymie Fisher, brilliant songwriters, by the way. Great songwriter. So that's what I was just thinking. You know, maybe there's time for a change. Gary Lineker could go. A couple of the others could go. By the way, Clymie Fisher wrote the George Michael Aretha Franklin track. What a great track. I might try and play. And do you know what? I'll play that as well. Yeah, let's have a bit of that. Great vocals for those two as well. Yeah, Clymie Fisher wrote that song. Brilliant, brilliant. Just going back to the change situation with Gary Lineker. Who would replace him? Because I just gave you some figures there. That the week before, they had 2 million viewers and everyone tuned in the other night for a 20-minute sort of no-mark TV programme with no commentary, no nothing, no punditry, and they picked up 2.5 million viewers. Now, I've got to say, look, I love Alan Shearer and I love Ian Wright. But over the years, I don't know, you know, I was around, I've probably told these stories before, I was around the whole England team in Euro 96 and sort of 98. I went out to Lille for one of the games with the FA. And listen, we all love Alan Shearer, but he is quite a stern character, isn't he? I want him to say something that's a little bit outlandish. Sometimes he just sits on the fence a little bit. Righty can be really funny, but I want some characters on there now. I think it's time for a bit of characters. You know, I don't like footballers, ex-footballers that go on there that just give the same interview every time, you know, and they scratch their ear and scratch their nose. And, you know, I said to Teddy Sheringham a few years ago, I think one of the funniest lines he ever done, he was standing there with Jurgen Klinsmann and Jurgen was being interviewed, and they were sort of in the tunnel, and then Jurgen said, yes, it was very windy out there. And so Teddy stopped and said, windy? And he said, yes, windy. I think you mean windy. And then they both started laughing. Now, listen, I don't know whether you can do that anymore, because, you know, you're in a dig at someone. Of course you can do it. Stop it. What am I even asking that question to myself? They were having a bit of a laugh, you know, about their accents, and I think it showed a bit of character. And I like seeing footballers show a bit of character, that they're not just born. I mean, Mikel Antonio was great, you know, every time he'd come out after scoring, which is not a lot lately, he'd come out and go, I'm buzzing. I just, you know, he's got a big smile when there's something, you know, great about his character. Not great about his football at the moment. There you go, being a West Ham fan, I'm struggling a little bit watching West Ham at the moment. It's all a bit mediocre, but there again, I suppose that's the same for you Tottenham fans. I've got to go and do some gigs at Tottenham very soon, and I do worry every now and again when I go there, because it's getting a bit like West Ham. They sort of can start moaning at the fans, and the fans start moaning at the players. And I suppose that's how football's going, really, isn't it? It's just, it's a bit of a struggle. But yeah, listen, I was just talking about Gary Lineker and thinking, what would the change be? Maybe this is time for a change. He's been there, you know, over 20 years. And you go, oh, we can't do without Gary. Why? You know, why not? Let's get somebody else in. Let's, you know, does it have to be an ex-pro? I like the fact that ex-pros are there, but I want ex-pros with character. You know, I don't want to replacing someone just because they've worked their ranks up the TV channel. We don't want an Alan Carr hosting it. I mean, it would be funny, to be fair. By the way, Matt Lucas hosting fantasy football. What's that all about? You know, because he's never kicked a ball in his life. He really hasn't. Honestly, I love, absolutely lovely fella, and I was so proud. A few years ago, he asked myself and Spurning to go on his TV show on BBC One. Can't remember what the show was called. It was on at 9 o'clock, and he asked us to go on and sing the Sven song. Apparently, he loved the Sven song, and he got us to go on there with Graham Garden from the Goodies, and Graham Garden dressed up as Sven. And David Arnold, very famous composer, played a little piano when we sung the Sven song. It's very funny. You can probably get it on YouTube. But I was really pleased. You know, Matt Lucas said, I want Bell and Spurling to come on. And when we turned up the TV show, they were sort of rehearsing. He went, here's Bell and Spurling. And I thought it was fantastic of him. You know, he made a big fuss of us. And he's a lovely, lovely guy. But seriously, fantasy football, it's not for him, is it? You know, I know Badil and Skinner did that in the old days, but there was something fresh and something new about it. Why they got Matt Lucas to do it, I'll never know. I don't know who the other guy is, but it just doesn't work for me. It could have been really funny, that. It could have been a really good show. It's not for me, that one. But who do we replace Gary Lineker with? I'm just trying to think of ex-pros that have shown a little bit of character. You know, he might make it a bit funny, might sort of come up with something. I don't know. Maybe email in, just tell it, you know, because there's definitely room for change there. You know, look at those years when we sort of had, you know, Andy Gray and Richard Keys doing it. I know people don't like them now, but, you know, we had it for so many years with them. And we, well, it's, they're always going to be around. They're going to, well, no, they got booted out and life went on. Life went on without them. So I'm sure that we can do it again. You know, we can come up with something. I wanted to talk about 80s fashion as well. Because shoulder pads are coming back. And it really was the greatest fashion. The 80s fashion was brilliant. You think of that span of the 80s from, you know, the early 80s right the way through to the late 80s. There was such a widespread of fashion. I don't know whether, listen, younger people probably don't remember it, but I was right in the middle of that. I'm going to talk about some of the fashions I went through. My mate says to me, you're the only person, right, in a space of a year that went from a teddy boy to a skinhead to a, in fact, I was never a punk, to a skinhead, to a mod, to a soul boy, to a casual, and back to a mod in 1 year. But this was an era that I sort of just missed out on. I was a little bit too young for this, and I really wanted to go to the Blitz, and I wanted to be part of this. I was just a little bit behind it. We sort of started releasing records when I was sort of, I don't know, 16, 17, and playing the Hippodrome and going to Stringfellas, and God knows how we were getting in there, but we were. Probably the makeup done it. But I missed this sort of era, and this was a track that I would love to have been part of at the time.
Trouble.
Visage, Steve Strange. Just so cool at the time. It was so different, you know. Steve Strange ran the Blitz Club in London. This was where everybody sort of come out of that era, you know, Spandau Ballet, Boy George, all those sort of people. And so many great stories about you. You hear people that sort of that went there at time, you know, some of the Duranis were from sort of like the Midlands, and they would come down and, you know, and go to the Blitz. Everybody wanted to be at the Blitz, and everyone was trying to clamber to be famous and be in a band and make it. And really, Steve Strange wasn't that sort of, you know, I think it was Rusty Egan was part of that as well. And they run the Blitz, and they decided to form a band, which was Visage, and they come up with that song there. And I do believe, I'm just thinking, Ashes to Ashes. I know that Steve Strange was in the David Bowie video for that. And Bowie went in the Blitz one day, and it was like God had turned up. You know, it pretty much the start of the new romantic look, wasn't he? If you think about it, he was way ahead of his time, wearing makeup and that sort of wild sort of look that everyone adopted, which sort of came out of that 70s look. But this early 80s vibe was just such a different, you know, anyone could wear anything. I tried to do it. I tried to, you know, I was sort of like young, and I remember going to the, we played at the Hippodrome when we were 16. We was very lucky. We had a single out, our band. We were called Pineapple Party. We were sort of based around Kikarel and the Coconuts. We were trying to sort of get that vibe going. And I remember playing at the Hippodrome and then thinking, I just absolutely loved it. We performed on a Friday and Saturday night, just did the single, and the stage used to come out of the floor then. So you'd have, I think it held about 1,800, 2,000 people. It was just a fantastic place, the Hippodrome. And you had the dance floor in the middle. It was a big, yeah, it was almost like a big theatre, you know, it was all tiered going up the sides. And the dance floor would rise up by around about 2 foot. And in the centre of the dance floor was this cutout, you know, like a false floor, and that would drop down, and we were under the stage loading the drum kit on, and, you know, we were only doing a PA, we were doing a mime into the single. Our single was called Walk Away at the time. It was a very strange song. And, you know, we would rise up out of the dance. I mean, how 80s is that? How cool is that? This hydraulic lift bringing us up out of the floor. And then as you come up, you see all the audience around you, you know, and I was like a young 16-year-old lead singer of this band, and I was at absolutely, you can imagine, can't you? And I was so scared, and we performed there, and it was, I remember having this sort of pale blue jacket, white trousers, no socks. I think they were called jellies then, weren't they? Jelly beans, the shoes. And I had a green beret on, right? Just to look a bit different. And I remember us sort of going back a couple of weeks later, me and my mate, who's, you know, my close mate, Brad, who was in the band. And we went back and we said, well, look, if we're going to get in, we've got to speak to the doorman. We're going to say we performed here the other week, you know. I went back, I went to Topshop and I bought a cape. I went in Woman's Topshop and I bought this cape. It got me green beret. I remember I had purple tartan trousers on and little black boots. And we got back, and it was the old days where you used to have sort of have to stand outside the Hippodrome and get noticed by the two guys that were, it was two very tall blonde guys that used to pick who could come in and who couldn't. If you weren't dressed, you know, a little bit wild, then you weren't coming in. This sort of dates back to the sort of Studio 54 sort of days, I suppose, in New York, where, you know, anybody just wearing a suit and tie, they're never going to get in. You come in a bikini and roller skates, you're going to get in. That's how mad it was. And we did. We used to get picked to go in there. Oh, it's you two guys. And it was great. And I just felt brilliant about it. But it was just a few years after that whole Blitz, the new romantic. We sort of missed that whole vibe. But people were still wearing makeup. I remember going in one night and the Thompson twins were going in. You know, the Thompson twins. They weren't actually twins, but there was Tom, I forget his name, and Alana Curry. There you go. I've just pulled that one out of the bag. And I remember, this is a great story. I remember, do you remember at the end of the night, you'd have a slow dance? And it was about the first time I thought, well, yeah, I'll put a bit of makeup on. I think I'm just coming out of that new romantic. I'm only about 17, but I'm going to look the part. And I remember having a dance, the last dance with this girl. You go and find someone. You have a little dance at the end. You have a little slow dance. And as the lights went up, my mate was having a dance with another girl, and he said, Belle. And I went, what? And he went, your mascara's running. Oh, it's hilarious. Thompson Twins. I don't think I've heard this song for years, but they were great. Big shoulder pads, big hair, big back combed hair, makeup. That's just me. Thompson Twins, unbelievable. What a great band. There was three of them. That's how good the twins were. Brilliant. Yeah, but this was great about the 80s. And this is why I'm talking about this 80s fashion that's coming back. Fashion gets shoulder. Kate leads big pad revival. Giant 1980s style shoulder pads are making a comeback in women's fashion. Kate Blanchett is among celebs to adopt the power look popularized by Joan Collins as Alexis Colby in US soap Dynasty. There's other stars as well. Posh Spice, 48 Posh Spice now. 48. Beyonce is adopting the look as well. Madonna has, over the years has done it. Paris Hilton, 42. She's also dabbled in a little bit of big shoulder pedizians. And it's just, it does go round, doesn't it? If you think about the mod situation in the 60s, that came back in that sort of late 70s, early 80s. That's where I pretty much started. I think I came out of that. I was a teddy boy at one point, but I don't know what happened there. I got the old Brother Creepers out of my mum's Grattan's catalogue. I think I was a size 1 at the time, and these were size 3. They were way too big for me, the old sort of black. They were meant to be blue suede shoes, but they were black. And the crepes old shoes. And then you get the drain pipes and the bootlace tie and a drape that was never, I was never going to get a drape. I was only about 2 foot high. And then we went into this whole, went into that punk thing of late 70s, which really at the time, if you come from a decent background, a sort of nice, normal family home, there was no way you were going to start sticking safety pins through your nose and wearing tartan trousers and straight jackets. So I couldn't really get involved in that. But I think one of the first songs that I did hear that suddenly sparked me up to a new, a new form of music that I was going to start enjoying was listening to the Specials and hearing Gangsters. This was, I think, 1979. I'd gone with my mum and dad to Pontins in Southport, and I heard it played and I thought, wow, this is different. And then that whole sort of skinhead vibe was around then. Do you remember when the girls had a skinhead as well, but they had that sort of like long bit at the side and the long bit at the back? It was horrible, wasn't it? It was terrible. I used to go over West Ham. I was 11 or 12, and you'd see everyone in their, 10 old steels, 10 old Dr. Martins with the steel toe cap showing. And I tried to buy off of my mate some 10 old steels, and like I say, I'd probably progressed to a size 3 now, and he had a pair of size 6s. These were the sort of red, the red ones that have sort of been dubbed a little bit, so they're red and black, and he said, I've got them. And he'd cut the leather out so he could see the steel toe cap, and he said, do you want to buy them? I said, yeah, and I bought them off him for a fiver. And I remember, I wasn't even a skinhead at the time. My mum wouldn't let me have a crew cut. And I remember being upstairs, getting these boots on, and they were huge. Right? They were twice the length of my legs, sticking out. And I came down the stairs, and I remember tucking my feet around the front door. I opened the front door, and I tucked my feet around the front door, and I limped backwards, and I shouted down the hallway, Mum, I'm going out now. I'm just going over to see the boys. And she said, oh, where are you going? So I said, I'm just going. She said, hang on a minute, what are you wearing? I said, nothing. And she said, come here. What are you going? I said, no, I'm going. And I run down the road like Coco the Clown with my feet flapping with these giant steel toe caps on the end of them. And it was, you'd do anything to wear fashion then. I don't know whether anybody remembers Mince and Davis in Romford Market. If you're listening to me now and you're of a certain age, you will remember the greatest shop of all time, Mince and Davis, at the end of Romford Market, right down the bottom. And everyone would go there. I went there on my own. I lived in Chigwell, and I would get the 150 bus from Hainault or the 247A that would go to Romford. And I went there to buy some stay press to be a sort of skinhead mod type vibe. It was a bit of a crossover at that point, really. And I bought my first pair of tonics there. Do you remember the tonics? It was a two-tone, it would shimmer. You could get the blue and the orange, or you could get the green and the gold, the orangey, greeny sort of vibe. And I really wanted the blue. The blue didn't fit me, so the guy came out with some greeny orange ones, and he said, I'll be honest with you, mate, I think they're a little bit too tight. I said, I don't care, I'm having them. And he said, well, listen, we're getting some more in next week. I went, no, I'm here today, I want them now. And so I bought them, and I took a moment. I said to my mum, she said, what have you bought? So I was like, what was I, 11 years old? And I put them on. She said, they're too tight. I said, they're not. She said, they're too tight. We had a massive row. I went to school the next day. And do you remember in assembly, you used to sit down cross-legged with your hymn book? Remember that? I sat down cross-legged. And we started singing, I don't know, Blackbird Has Spoken, or whatever. We're singing our hymns. And my mate next to me nudged me, Darren Wiseman. He's no longer with us, sadly. And he nudged me, and I said, what? And he said, look. And I looked, and all the seams on the insides of my trousers had split open. They were too tight. But you know what? I just wanted to be part of it. There was Revels in Romford. I remember buying college shoes that were too small for me, or I'd buy sort of desert boots that were too big for me. I could never get the right size. But we didn't care. We just wanted to be part of that fashion. And Minson Davis really was that shop. In the early 80s, you just went there. And Romford Market was wonderful. You could buy all your badges, you know, the Who to stick on your fishtail parker. You could buy the Jam. And it was wonderful. You'd see quite a few scooters parked outside Minson Davis. Minson Davis sort of sold an array of fashions, really. You'd start off with the old Ben Sherman shirt that had the button at the back of the collar, and it would button down. And then you would get your stay press, or I was never one for denim jackets, but everybody went for that green jacket. Do you remember the sort of short green bomber jacket? But probably one of the greatest times, really, of that era, really, was when Madness came on the scene. And yes, they probably wasn't as, you know, I don't know, left of field and as cutting as the Specials. But when Madness came on the scene, it made it commercial, and it made it great for everybody, because Baggy Trousers come out and a load of other tracks that come out there, and they were just brilliant, one step beyond. And I remember saying to my mum, I need to buy a Crombie. And my mate, who was a lot taller than me, the Crombie looked great on him. I was quite short, and the Crombie was never going to look good. And we went on a Saturday afternoon to Romford Market to get this Crombie. And I tried it on, and I swear to you, it was round my ankles. And luckily, my mum was a machinist, and she said, you look like an undertaker. And she said, you can't. I said, I want it. And so we bought the Crombie. And if you remember the Crombie, you could pull the handkerchief out, and it'd have a red lining. It was so cool. And we went back, and my mum cut off about a foot and a half off the bottom, cut the sleeves off as well, just so that I could fit into this Crombie. But the Madness album came out, and everybody just went mad for the Madness album. It was brilliant. But one of my memories was sort of being in my living room with my mate Charlie, and we were dancing to all those songs like One Step Beyond and Baggy Trousers and everything, and doing the Madness dance, just dancing around the room, just feeling amazing, just feeling that, you know, I'm young and I'm in amongst this fashion that is breaking through, and everyone's part of it. But this song really was the song that I loved the most. And myself and Johnny Spurling were very, very lucky to support Madness a few years back in the Marbella Ballroom. We're very lucky, and it was great. It was one of the greatest gigs of my life. And we played to 8,000 that night. And we went on and done the Sven song and Golden Balls, but we also done another half an hour of big soul songs and got the whole crowd singing before Madness went on and performed songs like this, which really was one of my favourites.
Oh, Yes, an embarrassment, a living endorsement. The intention that you have booked was an intention that was overlooked. They say stay away.
Takes you back, doesn't it?
You're an embarrassment.
Ah, the best, really, one of the best times ever. Being a Madness fan and just being around that vibe of that fashion. You know, I look at kids now. What's the fashion? What's going on? What's the movement? Seriously, what's going on? Nothing. I think the last fashion, which was an absolute disaster, was goths, and they're still sort of bobbing around, and everyone goes, look at those weirdos. It's true, though, isn't it? Just think about it. Kids just wear anything now. There's no movement. You know, we came out of that whole, I don't know, that mod scene, that rude boy scene, the skinhead scene. And it went into casuals, which we loved the casuals and, you know, the sort of wearing the Fila and the Costume. And let's say, strangely enough, I was in TK Maxx yesterday. I was in TK Maxx. You know where they get that sort of, that row with, it's called the mod box or something like that. And there was a track top there. It was an Alesse track top. You could call it a Lisa or a Alesse, whatever you wanted to do, right? But there was a track top there. And I thought, oh, God, get it. I've got to get it because it's taking me back to those days. Can you imagine when you were going into school with an Alesse bubble jacket? You just called it a bubble jacket, didn't we? I remember buying one off of somebody and it had a tear in it. And I took it home to my mum and she said, what have you bought that for? I said, well, it's Alesse. She said, it's got a massive tear across the front. I said, doesn't matter. Stitch it up. It's going to be great. And we tried to dye it to get rid of the actual tear look. And it just ruined it. I think we threw it in the bin. It is a great one, though. I had a Ticini track top. Okay, so we went through the jumpers. We went through Lyle and Scott. We went through Pringle. Lacoste T-shirts of all different colours. The beautiful colours of Lacoste T-shirts. And we wore Farrah's, didn't we? We wore Wexman's. Remember Wexman's with the little W at the top? Waffles. I think they might have been just beforehand. And then we had Gabici. Do you remember Gabici? That was like the cheap version, wasn't it? Gabici was the cheap version of it. But there's some of those big sports brand, Fila, like I say, Sergio Ticini and Alesse. I had a Sergio Ticini track top. I had the pale blue one with the two white stripes and the red collar. Do you remember that? Okay. And I swapped it. I swear to you, I swapped it with a fella off of Limes Farm Estate in Chigwell. I swapped it for his mum's half-sovereign ring. It was a half-sovereign ring, 1908, in a mount, okay? And he said, I'll swap it for that. And I said, yeah, fair enough. And I went home to it, and my mum said, you've got to take that back. I said, I can't. I said, it's it. He's already got the track top. He's wearing it. He's roaming around town in it. Swapped it. It's brilliant, isn't it? Charlie Fentiman, his name. He lives in Australia now, because I know that, because he's on my Facebook. He's a lovely guy as well. But I'm sure if he kept that Ciccini tractor, it would be worth a few quid. Not as much as the half sovereign, by the way. Great times. I went skiing last week, and I went over to Val Thorens, which was great. If you're thinking about having a little late ski trip, I always tell people, I don't know why they try some of these resorts out. You know, I've been to resorts everywhere, really. And I always end up going back to the Three Valleys in France, because you've got Courchevel, which is stunningly beautiful. Méribel is in the middle. It's a little bit lower, so the snow is not as good. Still quite party vibe. But Val Thorens is the highest resort in Europe. It's at 2,300 metres. And you're always going to get snow. You know, why chance it? And now Val Thorens is not the prettiest of town. You've got no tree-lined skiing, but it's always got snow. And I was there in January, and I went last week, and it's got a great party vibe to it now. It's built a nice big swimming pool complex right in the middle of town, with a spa and stuff. And yeah, I just, you know, if you're thinking about a late vibe, I know the snow's been pretty rubbish this year. It's not been that great. It didn't snow from 23rd of January up until this week. But even just before it snowed there, snow conditions were pretty good. No point in going at the Middle Valley. Just stick around the old Val Thorens. I don't know why I'm giving a snow report to you lot, because I want my going again myself. But there's too much going on, and I can't do it. Jeremy Hunt gave the budget yesterday. What did anybody make of that? There was nothing. It just bores me a bit, doesn't it? Yeah, Jeremy Hunt. You know, he sort of said that there's no more duty on fuel. Okay, fair enough. There's just nothing great in it, is there? There's nothing that's just gone, wow, we're all going to have a windfall. I know we're living under strange times at the moment, but yeah, no duty on fuel. But that's no big deal, is it? Because at the moment, I've just looked at where a lot of the fuel comes from, the Saudis. The Saudis have just offered Lionel Messi. Get this. Get out of this lot. The Saudis have just offered Lionel Messi $172 million a year to go and play in Saudi Arabia. Now, I mean, that's just, you know... Sorry, I correct myself. With bonuses, adding up to $192 million. £20 million bonus. $192 million a year to go over. I mean, all they've got to do is just... I figured it out, how the Saudis can make more money. And it's quite simple. They just make the drill a little bit wider, right? So that more oil comes out at a quicker rate. Yeah? That's what you do. Go. I remember somebody making a fortune with toothpaste. I think he went to, I don't know, Colgate or someone like that, and he said, I've got an idea, Harry, you can earn a lot more money. I think he gave him some sort of figure, and they said, well, okay, he said, I've got this idea, I want an agreement signed beforehand. I want $250,000 in my bank. And I'm not sure how true this story is, but it's a great story. And they said, okay, Aaron, and they signed the agreement. And he said, right. He said, you know that little bit at the top, right, where the paste comes out of? He said, yeah. Make it 1.5 millimetres wider so that more toothpaste comes out. So you use the tube quicker. So you're done in about 8 weeks, and then you got to come back. It's brilliant, isn't it? I'm just thinking the Saudis have got to do that. It's great. Listen, I was talking about Ozzy Osbourne wanted to go back out on tour. He's 74 years of age now, and he's got neck and back problems. He wants to go out in a chair. I mean, Phil Collins is doing it at the moment. I know it's desperately... I feel so much for Phil Collins because I loved him. I thought he was an amazing songwriter, just come up with some of the most beautiful songs. And Ozzy Osbourne wants to do it, and I find it a little bit sad. I, as some of you might know, I do go away on tour with Iron Maiden quite a bit, and they're still super fit, and they're friends of Ozzy Osbourne, and I go away with them quite a bit. And they run around the stage, but they have kept themselves in good shape. I'm still playing in football matches with Stevie Harris from Iron Maiden. I think we're going to Murcia, where Johnny is. I think we're going there this year, and Barcelona to do some gigs and to do some football matches. I wanted to quickly play this song just before we start wrapping things up, and I'll sort of wrap things up at the end. But I always, when I think of Ozzy Osbourne, I think of David Lee Roth as well. I don't know why it is, but I just love this song, and I felt I've got to play this song. It just came to mind.
What will they say about me when the end comes? I know it is the best. about me, 'cause Bob.
It's a song. It makes you feel good, doesn't it? It just makes you feel good, that song. I'm bouncing around in the studio here. I'm thinking, I've got to do this track. I've got to do this track live. Just while I remember, that was David Lee Roth, by the way. I'm just a gigolo. Everybody knows. Just to let you know that I hosted the Phoenix Charity Ball on Saturday night at Alsett Hall. Absolutely fantastic night. We raised £15,000. It was a really good auction. I had quite a bit of a laugh with some people. It was great. Teddy Sheringham turned up. Vicky Michelle turned up. We had a fantastic time. Got everyone up and dancing till the early hours, and it was an absolute blinder. I'm going to be back next Thursday with Johnny Sperling. Sperling will be back from Spain. We will have the Bell and Sperling show as normal, and then we'll be running straight off from here in Essex to get to Newcastle for the Farage show on GB News. I really enjoyed it today, so it was a little bit of a walk down memory lane with the 80s. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll do this again next Thursday. Have a great evening. Come on, West Ham tonight.